guys are here.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. This week, I was in the training in England, and there was one brother. He was jumping. He was every time
Hallelujah.
He said answer. He said, "This brother is living."
Well,
not mention his name. No, is it wrong? And then it was right. But praise the Lord, he was living. And this is what we need to be living. Living. Chapter 5 to 8 of Romans, the kernel of the Bible.
When
we think about the kernel, that we need to be protrude to the inner center core of something, of the being. For example, with a bone, we need to break the bone, get to the marrow. And like with a peach, we need to peel it open to get to the core, to the seed, to get to the seed. So the seed of the Bible is the line of life and the line of death. And this is what the Bible is all about. This line of life, its ends in the New Jerusalem. The line of death ends in the lake of fire. This is the consummation of this line. In the beginning we see the seed, and we see the consummation. We see in Romans 5 to 8, we see these two items return, life and death. And we see the New Jerusalem, we see the throne. A throne is made out of jaspis. Revelation 21, 11 says God is jaspis, jasper stone. And we see that this is a wall around the city, and this is made out of jasper also, which is built together. And we see that in Revelation, we see that and after this wall, there's a flow of life, and this flow of life ends in a wall. And this wall is made of precious stones, and these precious stones are formed in a special way. The magma in the right position, in the right pressure, and the right temperature. It causes these precious stones to be formed. And these precious stones are made, the wall is made of these precious stones.
So
from this throne is a flow, a river, in which we need to be. And we walk this way of life. It forms us, it makes us, it transforms us into this wall. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We may become this wall. And we also know that Satan is always trying to mislead us. And he has used many things to mislead us, so that we do not come to the kernel of the Bible, that we do not come to this line of life. This is his goal. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will be revealed, and the day will bring it to light, and this will be revealed in fire. How each one's work itself will prove each one's work of what sort it is. So apparently you can build with materials that are not suitable of this city, of this city that we want to consummate in. The footnote in 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, wood, hay, stubble, realized. It's the footnote. It's from the natural. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's from the natural background of the believers, the natural being. It's from mostly in the soul, and the natural life consists. Wood signifies contrary to gold. It's the disposition of the natural man. Hay, contrary to silver, is the fallen man, which is not born out of Christ or reborn. And straw. And stubble, in contrast, the precious stone signifies the work and living that issue from an earthen source and have not been transformed by the Holy Spirit. All these worthless materials are the product of the believer's natural man together with what they have collected from their background. In God's economy, these materials are fit only to be burned. Yes, it's a warning to us. So we need to learn to remain on the line of life, of this golden street. His way is gold. This is God's nature. And His redemptive work, His precious stones, are His transforming work, the work that He performs in us, and what He needs in us to make us into this city. In Revelation 2:20, the city in Thyatira, but I have something against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, she who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and leads my slaves astray to commit fornication and to eat idol sacrifices. So the footnote says the woman here is the same as the one prophesied by the Lord in Matthew 13:33. There the woman added leaven, signifying evil, heretical and pagan things, into the fine flour, with signifying Christ as the meal offering for the sanctification of God and man. So here the evil things are mixed in with the good. That what God desires, Christ, is mixed with these evil things. Therefore Paul says, let us feast with not with leaven, but with the sincere bread. The title of this message is The Line of Life and the Line of Death in chapters 5 through 8 of Romans. It's the title of message 1. So Roman number 1, chapters 5 through 8 of Romans can be called the kernel of the Bible, showing its entire theme in a concrete and detailed way. And A, these two key words, life and death, are mentioned repeatedly in Romans 5 through 8. Life and death form two contrasting lines through chapters 5 through 8, the line of life and the line of death, showing that man is in a triangular situation between God and Satan, life and death. This triangular situation we see in Genesis, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil is actually a very misleading term. God said, when you eat of this tree, you will certainly die. So actually, it's the tree of death. It's the tree that brings forth death. Only these three, knowledge, good, and evil, are actually three sisters of one family. They work together to bring in death in you. So knowledge of good, it seems very attractive, but knowledge and good is from the same category. It's not our choice between good and evil, our choice is between life and death. Actually, behind knowledge and good and evil, death is hiding. So it looks very attractive, but the reality behind it is not very attractive. And point B says the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, the tree of death, issue in two lines, the line of life and the line of death, that run through the entire Bible and end in the book of Revelation. And life begins with the tree of life and ends with the New Jerusalem as a city of water of life, with the tree of life, the light of life and the glory of life. Death starts with the tree of knowledge and ends with the lake of fire. Actually, I need to put these lines in my diagram here. These are the two lines that we see. It starts with a seed and ends in a New Jerusalem. It starts with the seed of life and it ends in a New Jerusalem. It starts with the seed of death and ends in the lake of fire. In relationship to the lake of fire, in Revelation 20:14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Actually, this lake of fire is the universal garbage collector, and everything is thrown into here, all the negative things, also death and Hades. Death and Hades are persons that also are being thrown into the lake of fire, the second death. The last enemy of us and our Lord is the death, who is thrown into the lake of fire. In Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2, we see, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We are those who eat of the tree of this tree, of the fruit of this tree. We have the right of the fruit of this tree. We eat of the fruit of this tree. And our life and our deeds and our acting are the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. And the brother mentioned an example that you can imagine, that if people go through 3.5 years of great tribulation, everything is turned around. Good is bad and bad is good. Everything is turned around. And these people that go through this tribulation, that they need an example how we can be a normal person. They have lived under circumstances that are far from normal. Far from normal human life. We praise the Lord that we may eat of the tree of life. Just want to read the footnote.
Dat de ene boom des levens aan beide zijden van de rivier groeit betekent dat de boom des levens een wijnstok is.
And that the one tree of life grows on the two sides of the river signifies that the tree of life is a vine that spreads and proceeds along the flow of the water of life for God's people to receive and enjoy. This tree fulfills for eternity what God intended from the beginning. The tree of life was closed to man because of his fall, but it was opened to the believers through the redemption of Christ. Hallelujah. Today, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life is the believer's common portion. Amen. We all have a common portion. We all have a right to this tree. Praise the Lord. In the millennial kingdom, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life will be a dispensational reward to the overcoming believers. Eventually, in the new heaven and new earth, for eternity, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life will be the eternal portion of all God's redeemed. Christ as the tree of life is the life supply available along the flow of the Spirit as the water of life. Where the Spirit flows, there the life supply of Christ is found. This is all in and with the divine nature as a holy way, signified by the street. This is the supply of the holy city, and this is the way the city is supplied. This is the supply of the holy city, and this is the way the city is supplied. Built. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, as the brother indicated this week, this is not a coconut tree that we need to climb up high to get the coconut, that we need to break and get a little juice. This is a vine. It's available. It's very available and eat to be able to eat and enjoy. God is really available to us. And the New Jerusalem is the fruit of life. And it's the consummation of life. Just like the tulip fields, which you can stand and take a picture. And you have a field of bulbs. And you see the tulips. It's one sea of tulips. It's an exhibition of these tulips. Praise the Lord is the consummation of this life. Last week also, we saw in 2 Peter, we see it starts with the seed of faith. We have the roots of virtues and knowledge. We have a stem of self-control. And we see the branches of endurance and godliness. And eventually we see the fruit of brotherly love and love. And this New Jerusalem is God's nature present. They who have seen His holiness, His righteousness, and His light are present there. This is His nature. This is the reality of the New Jerusalem. How it looks like, I don't know. But we can taste a little bit today. We have a little foretaste today. But we see in Romans 5, verse 8, we see the continuation of the situation. That he has the tree of life and tree of knowledge. Adam is there. But actually, now are we in Romans 5 through 8. We are in the middle of the situation. We see the sin of this, the body of this death. And we have a spirit who is full of life. And we are in between with our soul and our mind, emotion and will. But our mind is a key role in our Christian life. With our mind, we can aim and we can set our mind on the Spirit. And the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the flesh is death. But we often in our experience are being thrown back and forth. And it's our daily experience that we're going back and forth between death and life. And we have a time with the Lord. We're in life, and we might end in death a couple of hours later. And also this week, with our kitchen was being, and one of my sons was changing a light bulb in the kitchen, and it was we lost a little fitting, a little piece, and he told me, I wouldn't think we need to buy a new lamp. I said, whoa, not just buying a new lamp. I said, Lord Jesus, you are the finder of the screws. And praise the Lord. And we found the screw within a minute. The point is that we can turn to our spirit in all things, in every situation. And whether or not we find a screw is secondary. But praise the Lord. The tree of life. We eat. Point C, eating the tree of life, that is enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy Him, the richer the content will be. Brothers and sisters, the content of the church life, the place where we are, this depends on the measure in which we enjoy Christ. Everyday enjoyment determines how our church life is. In Genesis 2, verse 9, and out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see here is that it is good to eat, good for food. And when God says it is good, it must be good. When God says that it is in the middle, then He must be in the middle. Then it's not in the side. The tree of life should be in the middle for us. What God says is in the middle. So it should be the center of our being. It should be the center of our living. And that's the meaning of being in the middle. In Genesis 2:16, and God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden, you may eat freely." It is a commandment. It is a commandment to eat of that tree. Nowadays we're in a situation of war. We are in a war. It's a spiritual war. In a war, we need to realize that there is a commandment of God. We have one son that is in the army. Now he learned what it means to take commandments. Yes, finally, yes, indeed. So with commandments, to obey commandments, that means you need to put aside your own mind. You cannot have your own opinion, meaning an order is an order. God has ordered, has commanded us to eat at the tree of life. And when we learn to do this, we're faithful to do this, we see in Revelation 2, verse 7, that God rewards the overcomers with a tree of life. It's not just a commandment, It's not just good, it is also a reward. It is a reward for those who eat. And eventually, in the New Jerusalem, we see that we wash our robes, that we even have right to the tree of life. Hallelujah! This tree is central or not? Hallelujah! This tree is central, very much. And this is crucial for us to return again and again and again to the tree of life. But indeed, we see, but to enjoy Christ requires us to love Him with the first love. If we leave our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the lampstand will be removed from us. So, we need to have Him as the first love. In Ephesians, He said, I have against you that you have left your first love. And in Matthew, He says, what is the first commandment according to the law? Love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and mind, with all that we have. For me personally, when I entered the church life, the Lord called me by three specific verses. The verses are Matthew, first Matthew. In Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother above me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter above me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his soul life shall lose it, and he who loses his soul life for my sake shall find it. Amen. Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39. Praise the Lord. Our love for the Lord needs to be absolute. He needs to be absolutely number one. As number one and the only one. Number one. He is a jealous God. He will not allow any second love, any second place. Just like you don't have two wives. You have one wife, one man, and one husband, one wife. Anything more is brings in misery. The first love, to recover the first love is the Lord. This is E. To recover the first love is to consider the Lord Jesus as the first in everything. If we make Christ everything in our life, this means that we have overcome the loss of the first love. In Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He Himself might have the first place in all things. He is the firstborn from the dead. He has brought man into God through His birth. And with the birth of a child, we know, in the case of a normal birth, and the head always comes first. Head is always first. And after that, the members of the body come. Well, of course, we don't mention it as such. A little body will come. He is the head. He is the firstborn. He is the first place. And He needs to obtain the first place in all things. In John 14, verse 21, and he who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. The condition for the Lord to reveal Himself is that we love Him. This is the first condition. Paul, he was set apart from the womb of his mother, so that God, it pleased God to reveal His Son in him. This is what Paul said in Galatians, in John 14, verse 23, Jesus, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him. So, to love is central, a matter with the Lord. Just like a male-female relationship depends on love. When there is love, everything else is secondary. His revelation of Himself and His making His home with us depends on our love for Him. The speaking of the Lord, the Lord speaking to the church in Ephesus, can be summarized with four crucial words that begin with the letter L: love, life, light, and lampstand.
We must
life, light, and lampstand. These are the four crucial words. We must give the Lord Jesus the preeminence in every way and in everything to recover the first love. Then we will enjoy Him as the tree of life. This life, right away, becomes the light of life. Then we will be shining in our daily life and corporately as the lampstand. So the first place is to love. Our love for Him come forth from spending time with Him, just like you spend time with your beloved ones. The time that we spend shows how much you love him or her. The Lord wants us to love him. We love him. He can dispense himself. And he dispenses himself as life. Then we experience life in this life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And love and life brings forth light. So with our time with the Lord every day, brings life and light. And then when we come together, there will be a lampstand. Automatically, there will be a shining of the lampstand. This is one big lampstand. The new Jerusalem is one big lampstand, which shines. Even the sun and the moon are not needed anymore. This will just be one big light, and God Himself will be the light in the lamp, in the Lamb. He is the light. But there's also another side. The evil condition of the wicked is that they do not come to the Lord to eat and enjoy the Lord. They do many things, but they do not come to contact the Lord, to take Him, to receive Him, to taste Him, and to enjoy Him. In the sight of God, nothing is more evil than this. For us, nothing is more evil than not to come to return to the Lord, however good our intentions are. For us, it's more important to return. This is the most important, to return to Him. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and the result of your labor for what does not satisfy? Hear me attentively and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Eating the good, eat what is good, is to eat of the tree of life. This is the good for us. In verse 6 and 7, it says, seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Call upon is a drinking. Call him upon him, Lord Jesus. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evildoer his thoughts. And let him return to Jehovah, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will pardon abundantly. Also here we see that the wicked needs to forsake his way from his thoughts. Our mind is a crucial factor in our daily Christian life. Our mind. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the tossed sea, for it cannot be calm, and its waters toss up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. But it says, for my people, he is not speaking about strangers, not speaking about unbelievers. He is speaking about my people. My people have committed two evils. In the footnote, Jeremiah, a book full of speaking concerning Israel's sin and God's wrath, chastisement, and punishment, reveals that God's intention in his economy is to be the fountain, the source of living waters, to dispense himself into his chosen people for their satisfaction and enjoyment. The goal of this enjoyment is to produce the church, God's counterpart, as God's increase, God's enlargement, to be God's fullness or his expression. This is the heart's desire, the good pleasure of God and his economy. The full development of this thought, sown as a seed in this verse, is in the New Testament. And the footnote continues. So praise the Lord. We need to return to the source. The source is the tree. The source is the water, the flow of the living water. The believers today are a miniature. Roman numeral 2. Today the believer is a miniature Garden of Eden. God is the tree of life, is in his spirit. Satan is the tree of knowledge, is in his flesh, and his mind is in between. We are either in the spirit or in the flesh. There is no third place for us to be. This is why we must set our mind on the spirit. So what this mindset on the the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And the spirit has been brought to regenerated. And mind, emotion, and will. This is the battlefield. This is the battle for God and Satan is in our soul. Our soul is a crucial role. Our soul is for the expression of God. Therefore, he wants to gain our soul. And therefore, we need to set our mind on our spirit that he can start dispensing himself into us. We make us life, even until our mortal body. So we look at Romans 5 and 6 to show that death and life comes is returned here.
Let's see again. 5 verse 12.
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus death passed on to all men, because all have sinned. Romans 5:14. But death reigned from Adam until Moses. So we see the entering of death, and the death has dominion. And 5:17, for if by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So here we see life return. So in 21, in order that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see two forms of reigning, either death or grace. Romans 6, we see the newness of life. Romans 6:4 and 5, we have been buried therefore with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we have been baptized into him. Therefore, we have been made the same as death. And the experience is in our spirit. The more we experience his death, the more we've been brought into resurrection. This process of growth is in us. So in Romans, verse chapter 7, we see in a chapter that we may not like to see. 7 is regarding death and being put to death. 7 is about our experience we have in our flesh, or about being in Adam. Romans 7 speaks about seeking desperate believers who want to serve the Lord, but who keeps failing. He has the experience of this death. In 4 and 7, verse 10, we see in the commandment which was unto life, this very commandment was found to me to be unto death. So there is a commandment that was supposed to be unto life, but it still killed me because the sin, verse 11, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So what we see here is the experience of a seeking one, or a desperate believer who is trying hard to serve the Lord. So we might see this in ourselves. We might see a story, or read a story about Daniel, and he prayed 3 times a day, and we might want to do this also when we hear this. We might try to set ourselves to also pray 3 times a day, and we cannot do it. Or we try to read 2 chapters from the Bible every day, and we cannot make it. So we make our own laws. Or we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love my wife, and we cannot do it. Because we ask the Lord for to apply our own law. We ask the Lord to strengthen our soul. And this is the problem. We make our own law. This is the experience that we have. And this is this. And sin uses this. And sin would say, thank you. I've got you. I have you where I want you. I will kill you with this law that you made yourself. And sin is the killer, in which you hand the knife. The law that you made is a knife for the killer, for sin. And it's not in our in the Dutch Bible. Paul in 7:24 said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? The body of this death refers to the sin, is that this law, the law is being used to kill you. A, man's body was originally pure, but through man's fall, Satan injected himself into man, and man's body has become the flesh. One, our body is the body of sin and the body of this death. The body of sin is very active and full of strength in sinning against God. But the body of this death is weak and powerless in acting to please God. Two, as long as we are still living until the day of our redemption, the body of sin and death is always with us. Three, the flesh is the meeting hall and the compound of sin, death, and Satan. The flesh is a hopeless case and can never be improved. B. For the sake of his economy, God in his wisdom and sovereignty uses our sinful, ugly flesh to force us to turn to our spirit so that we may gain more of the spirit for his building by the growth of God in us. Zechariah 4:6, and that's not by power, not by force, but by my spirit. It's through my spirit. And our flesh is the guarding power. It's the guarding power to force us to return to the Lord. And this is the force. We have fourfold life. We have the spirit of God who's in our spirit. He is living. We have our spirit that's been made living by the Spirit. We have our mind that we set on the Spirit, through which our spirit become life, and eventually this will penetrate to our mortal body. Praise the Lord. Life and death is the kernel of the Bible. Maybe as husbands, we may have read that we need to love our wives, and the wife needs to subject to the husband. This is not in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, it was good. And it was good. It means that the woman was submitted to the husband, and that the husband loved the wife. That life and death is the kernel of the Bible. Praise the Lord. life in our spirit, life in our flesh, just as light a switch. We need to touch our spirit. He is installed in us. Electricity may be hard to understand, but my students always find it hard to understand. You can try to explain a little bit, but electricity, you cannot feel it, touch it, or taste it, but it is there. Electricity has been installed. So all we need to do is switch, is turn the switch, and then we are in the light. When the switch is off, we're in the dark. Because outside is still light, but we would be in the dark when we turn the switch off. The Spirit of God has been installed in our being. He is in our spirit. We need to learn to touch our spirit. And this is separated from our feeling. It's a matter of exercise. It's a matter. It's like an athlete training. This needs to become a normal matter to touch our spirit. We need to set our mind on the spirit. When we set our mind on the flesh, that is not merely our sinful body, but everything outside of God. The Bible calls everything outside of God sin, even our good intentions. We see Peter that took the Lord apart and told the Lord, and rebuked the Lord, that he would not happen to you, Lord. And the Lord told him, get behind me. So even his good intentions became still the flesh. It's the flesh that Satan used to work through Peter. So our doing good, our worldly entertainment, our intentions to love our wives, our intentions, our goals for the future, and our future are in the hands of the Lord. So we need to learn to develop a new heart. A new heart we can develop. We can see this. That's every day I take my bike to work. That's about 4.5 kilometers. I always say that my bike knows the road. I always cycle the same route. It's not bad until someday there's a sign from this and this day. This work, this road is blocked. So in my case, they might as well not put the sign there. This in the day that sign was placed, it was just blocked in front of the blockade. And at that point, I need to find a new road, a new way. And you will find a new way. And that road was already there. But anyway, a few mornings, I still went to the same blockade. And not just in the same week, but even in the following weeks. Just fall back in your old habits. But this is the same. This is the same in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, we often fall back in our old man. We're so used to be in our old man, to live and walk in our old man. And every time we fall for the same things, to return there. But we have a spirit and we call on the Lord Jesus. We have him in our spirit. We need to train our heart to return to our spirit every time again. So our falling back is not degrading. It's not, it starts because we stop exercising our spirit. The moment we leave our spirit, we have already degraded. So we turn the switch, it is dark. You do not walk into darkness, you're actually again straight away into darkness. This is our situation. Oh Lord, amen. One, judicially speaking, both Satan and our flesh were condemned once for all on the cross. judicially speaking, this was already done. It solved once for all. But God allowed the flesh to remain with us, to help us and force us to turn to Christ in our spirit and have no more confidence in the flesh. So we see that the thorn in the flesh in Paul's case was there to help him, to not be exalted, but to eventually come to the conclusion that his grace is sufficient for him. The Lord wants to give grace and wants to multiply grace. This is the Lord's desire. In Philippians 3:3, where we see we are the circumcision, we to serve God through the Spirit of God, and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So the Lord will not allow that we trust the flesh. Every time when we trust our confidence in the flesh, we get disappointed. And the sin would grab this knife and kill us to bring us back in our to our failure. Without the help rendered by the sinful, ugly flesh, we would not be as desperate to gain the Lord or to have him wrought into us. Three, our goal may be holiness or spirituality or victory, but God's goal is to work himself into us to make us glorious. Often, when we are in a difficult situation, we are more open to the Lord and more willing to turn to him and allow him to work himself into us. Amen. Our goal may be different than God's goal. God's goal is to work himself into us. If we eat a meal, we do that about three times a day, generally, to eat a meal, and then I take in food, and this goes to my stomach. And in my stomach, there are stomach juices. And these juices will break down the food, and they spread this to my being. These juices are a picture of the transforming spirit. We have a transforming spirit in our being. And this, he would like to break down the food and dispense and assimilate in our being. He wants to spread and transform us. We have a transforming spirit. This transforming spirit needs food. If we do not eat, then we become cranky and we become not very pleasant people because we do not have food, or we do not eat enough food, or we eat the wrong food. Then our stomach is upset and we don't feel good. We need to eat. We need to eat healthy. We need to eat of the tree of life. But sometimes we need to go to the Lord to ask, Lord, what do you want me to eat? If we have people over for hospitality, then we need to see, what do they like? Are they vegetarian? Or is it something else? Do we take this into account? Or do we just put a dish of potatoes, here you go. Why would you only put potatoes there? Some may not like that. Because I like that. I did not ask what you like. But what do you like, Lord? What do you like me to eat? Where would you like me to set my mind on? What do we need to set ourselves to? We need to set ourselves to eat a certain food, not for ourselves, but for someone else. So the food that we eat, what we prepare, should not be for ourselves, but for the other. Because we partake, it's nice, it's good. But it should be for the others. When we seek him, if we seek him, even the sinful compound, four, of the flesh will become a help to us in gaining the Lord. Because we fail so often, we are desperate to turn to the Spirit, and in this way, we gain more of the Spirit. more of the Spirit.
Exodus
23:23. And don't try to explain this to unbelievers. So that's why I'm trying to explain it correctly.
But if
for my angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and it will cut them off. In verses 28-29, and I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the animals of the field multiply against you. What we see here with these peoples, nations, we see that the Lord, in the time Noah, he chose Noah out of the others of the peoples. In the time of Babylon, God called Abraham at Ur of the Chaldean. God went with Abraham. God did not go with all the other nations. So all the other nations lived a life without God. A life without God. You see that people would try to distinct themselves from each other by their natural capacity. We see like Amsterdam versus Rotterdam. Of Utrecht versus Groningen. Which all have their specific natural way to distinct, to make themselves distinct from one another. We live in the north or in the south. So we see the natural characteristics that would prevail. But the natural characteristics would show something of our natural man. Of our natural man. How much we use and display cultural things. And we think that we can serve God with these. In the footnote, 23:23a for the Amorites, the footnote says the various pagan tribes that occupied the land signify the different aspects of our natural life. The gods or idols of the pagan tribes with the demons behind them represent the spiritual forces of evil. Behind our natural life are the forces of evil who utilize, manipulate, and direct the aspects of our natural life to frustrate us from taking possession of the all-inclusive Christ and enjoying His riches. History shows that the pagan tribes in the land were the source of Israel's sin against God. This indicates that our natural life is the source of our sins. In the sight of God, those who live according to the natural life are sinning continually, whether they do good or evil. Because the natural life frustrates us from possessing Christ and enjoying Him, we must hate it. And as we grow in Christ, be willing to drive it out. So this is what these people symbolize, these aspects of our natural man that we, as believers, we need to drive them out. We need to hate it and not be willing to use these. These are crucified with Christ. Amen. Point 5, our hardships, defeats, failures, and disappointments force us to realize that there is no hope in the flesh. The flesh is good only to force us to turn to Christ in our spirit, to press us into the Spirit, to make us desperate to get into the Spirit, and to keep us watchful to stay in the Spirit. So our failures, our disappointments are learning moments. Our points that we need to learn. In school, I always say, when we fail, it's not bad, as long as we learn from these. These are our moments to learn from. And our failures, our disappointments, our failures, our defeats, they force us to come to our spirit. There's one thing that God cannot do for us, and that is eating and drinking. This is something that God cannot do. We will need to do this ourselves. We need to give the Spirit food to work in us. Six, the Lord does not care for whether or not we have a victory. The Lord cares for only one thing, that we gain Christ as the Spirit by setting our mind on the Spirit. Philippians 3:8. Man, but moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuge that I may gain Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. The Spirit is a transforming Spirit. This is a crucial role in this transforming work. Our mind is crucial. But we need to take the decision for ourselves that we would not let others others do the work for us. So we need to set our mind to pursue and set our mind to do this. In Roman numeral 3, I will read the rest. I will not have the time to finish. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. In Romans 6, we are in Christ. In Romans 7, we are in the flesh. And in Romans 8, we are in the Spirit. The Adam in chapter 5 is experienced in the flesh in chapter 7, and the Christ in chapter 6 is experienced in the Spirit in chapter 8. A. We believers in Christ have a factual and positional transfer out of Adam through Christ's death and into Christ through his resurrection. 1. In Adam, we inherited sin that constitutes us sinners. We inherited death that, on the one hand, weakens us, disabling us to do things pleasing God, and that, on the other hand, reigns over us. And we inherited condemnation under the law unto death. In Christ, too, we have been gifted with righteousness, life, and justification under grace unto life, in which we reign with grace over all things. B. We believers in Christ have a practical and experiential transfer out of the flesh, the practical and experiential Adam, through our being crucified with Christ, and into the Spirit, the practical and experiential Christ, through our organic union with Christ as the law of the Spirit of life. See, Christ himself is the life of God, the eternal life. He came that we may have life and may have it abundantly. He died a life releasing death and entered into a life dispensing resurrection to become the life-giving Spirit as the law of the Spirit of life, giving life to our spirit, our mind, and our mortal bodies, so that we might be those who are swallowed up by life to minister life to others. 4, Roman numeral 4, in order for us to stay on the line of life, we must take the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life. See crucial fellowship from Brother Lee below.